Paul's letter to the Romans takes us from silence to speech. From every mouth stopped in guilt to one voice glorifying God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a vision of how the gospel transforms us from people with nothing to say to people who can't stop speaking about the greatest news in history. Join us over the next few weeks as I share my sermon series in the book of Romans, the gospel that creates a speaking people. Let's dive in. So Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. How do you try to become a better person? I guess that is something that you do think about. How can I be more patient with my kids? How can I be more generous with my money? How can I be less anxious about tomorrow? How can I be less sharp with my spouse? You see, it's not only Christians who want to improve. Everyone wants to be good. Just go around any office, any school, or any gym right now, whilst we're in January, and you'll find that people are trying to be better versions of themselves. And the instinctive answer for most people is more. Some kind of rule, some kind of regulation. I mean, that is the logic, isn't it, behind New Year's resolutions. I'll make a rule and I'll try to stick to it. That is the logic behind banking regulations. More rules are going to make people more honest, apparently. In fact, that's the logic behind every religious system. Keep the principle, follow the guideline, and that will bring about some form of moral change. All religions, apart from the one Paul is talking about, have you noticed? He's been saying something different over the last few weeks. Something that is actually quite shocking when you think about it. See, for the past few weeks, we've been seeing how generous Jesus is, how much Jesus shares with us. If you're new tonight, that's what we need to know. Paul has been explaining that when you trust Jesus, his death becomes your death. His story becomes your story. Everything changes. We saw that death cancels contracts. When Jesus shared his death with you, sin's legal claim was torn up at Calvary. You died with Christ. The contract was cancelled. And then last week, we saw that we changed masters, and what a master we have now. Do you remember? Sin pays the wages of death. Our new master gives eternal life as a gift. And so Paul said, match that energy. Serve your generous new master with the same devotion you once gave to sin. Maybe you've heard a version of Christianity that says something like this: God loves you and has a wonderful list for your life. Perhaps you've heard people say, aha, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Christianity, just a set of rules, just a few extra steps. Try harder, do better, earn approval. Romans 7, 1 to 6 dismantles that for us tonight. Because Paul wants us to see that it's not a list, but it's a relationship. It's not rules. Instead, it's a marriage. Here's what we want to be able to say as we leave this evening. I'm not God's employee. I am Christ's bride. Because Paul's been saying we're not under law anymore. In fact, he said we're released from the law. So that raises a question. If I'm not under law, what is my relationship to God now? Is Christianity just lawless? If you want a fancy word, you can say antinomian. Is it just making things up as we go along? Or is it something far better? What is my relationship to God? What is your relationship to God right now? Paul's answer tonight, you're married to the risen Christ. You're married to the risen Christ. And he shows us that in two steps. First, verses 1 to 3, death frees you from the law. And second, 4 to 6, death marries you to Christ. Let's take them in turn. First thing, verses 1 to 3, death frees you from the law. Paul starts with common sense. Have a look down at verse 1. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? Law, any law really, only has jurisdiction over the living. When someone dies, this is supposed to happen, the tax man stops chasing them. The mortgage company stops sending the letters. The court cannot summon a corpse. Death ends legal obligations. In fact, there are laws in place to make sure that that happens. There's something called the suppression list, which when I was working in big data at Sky TV, was something we had to always check. Is someone on the suppression list because they've died? You cannot chase them for anything. Remember what we've seen over the past few weeks, death cancels contracts. That is what Paul is setting up here. And so he uses a picture. Have a look at verses 2 and 3. He illustrates it with marriage. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that is how society operates. A married woman is bound to her husband whilst he lives. If she leaves him for another man, she's an adulteress. The law condemns her. But you see the point Paul's making here. If her husband dies, the woman is free. She is free to remarry. There is no shame, no condemnation. Death released her. Death changes the legal relationships. Death frees you from law. The widow isn't bound to a corpse. She is free to belong to another. Now, Paul here isn't addressing divorce, but he's making a simple point. Death releases you from legal obligation. So that's point one. Death frees you from the law. But that's only half the story. And you might be thinking to yourself, great, that's interesting, Paul. Thank you for the lesson in the law. Why does that matter to us? Well, because you didn't just escape something, you gained someone. And that brings us to the main point this evening. Second thing to see, verses 4 to 6, death marries you to Christ. This is where the weight lands. Have a look down at verse 4 with me. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Let's work through that. You also died. I'm going to make Miss Jones of Dane Court Grammar School really happy with me right now. What tense is that? You also died? It is the past tense, isn't it? You died. It's already happened. And let's get bonus points from Miss Jones tonight. That verb there is passive. It is not you also died as if you achieved it somehow yourself. Paul literally says here in the original, you were put to death. God did that to you through the body of Christ. When Jesus hung on that cross, his death became your death. His story became your story. You were crucified with him, and that death cancelled your contract with the law. You see, this is death cancels all contracts at its most personal. The law had a claim on you. It demanded perfect obedience from you. It condemned your every failure, but you died with Christ. And now the law has no jurisdiction over a corpse. You didn't earn that freedom. In fact, Jesus shared his death with you. That's how generous Jesus is. But you didn't just die in order to escape. Have a look at the purpose clause, verse 4. That you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Do you see that phrase? Belong to another. That there is marriage language. Paul is deliberately using wedding vocabulary. And who is this new husband, you might say? Well, not the law, not a rule book, not a system, but him who was raised from the dead, the risen Christ, a living person. You're not married to the law anymore. You're married to Jesus. There's the reasoning for Paul's law lesson earlier. Now, men, I don't know how much you're squirming right now hearing me say that. Jesus is my husband might feel a little bit odd. We don't normally think of ourselves as brides, I'm assuming. But the point is, Paul is talking about us together. The yous, the yals. The church is Christ's bride. And as part of the church, you are Christ's bride. The point isn't gender. The point is the kind of relationship. See, the law related to you like a contract, demand, penalty, performance review. Christ relates to you like a covenant partner. Intimacy, belonging, permanence. Paul wants us to feel this picture tonight. Just think about the difference for a moment. Relating to God through law is a terrible contract, a terrible relationship. Not because the law is bad. It's holy. It is righteous. It is good, as we're going to see next week. But because the law demands without empowering. It is as if you're married to a list. It told you what to do, but gave you no power to do it. It pointed out your failure, but offered you no help. It kept a record of every wrong. It demanded perfection and then condemned your every mistake. Just think about how exhausting that is. You read your Bible, but did you read enough? You prayed, well done. But were you as focused as you could be? You served a church, but were your motives pure? You gave money to church, but were you cheerful enough? You evangelized, but were you bold enough? If we live lives as if we're connected to law, well, it gives us a checklist with no end. You can never tick the last box. I mean, I know that exhaustion. I still catch myself there. Monday morning, I review the week and I think, well, did I pray enough last week? Was I with my family enough last week? Did I prepare well enough for sermon yesterday? And I can just feel that weight pressing down, that voice just saying, not quite, try harder, you're failing. You're falling short again. And here's what's worse. Every time you fail, you feel that the distance is growing. You can start to think to yourself, God must be so disappointed in me. Again, I keep promising to do better. I keep failing. He's probably running out of patience with me. And so you try harder. You make more rules for yourself. You add things to your to-do list. You add disciplines to your routine. But somehow that just gives you even more ways to fail. Always falling short, always condemned, always alone. That's what being married to the law felt like. It's like a husband who demands but never helps, who criticizes but never comforts, who keeps a record of wrongs and never says, I forgive you. Hopefully you'll think to yourself, well, that's some deal. But Jesus is far better. He doesn't stand at a distance checking your performance. In fact, he draws near. He shares his life with you. He gives you his spirit. He says, you belong to me now, and I'm going to help you flourish. When you fail, he doesn't say, ha, I told you so. He says, I know. I died for that. Come here. When you're weak, he doesn't say, try harder. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you doubt yourself, he doesn't say, you're right to doubt. He says, you belong to me, and I don't let go. Can you feel the difference? The law says, prove yourself. Jesus says, you belong to me. The law says, try harder. Jesus says, draw nearer. The law says, you failed again. Jesus says, I know. I died. Come here. This isn't just information. This is the shape of your life now. I mean, this is what the prophets have been dreaming of. If you've been reading through the prophets with us on a morning, the prophets were dreaming of this kind of relationship. Isaiah was hoping for the day when God would be Israel's husband. We'll get there in growth group soon. Hosea, unfaithful love, faithful God, shows God pursuing his unfaithful bride, running after her again and again, even when she ran to other lovers. And now, the story that marriage has always been pointing to has come. In Christ, that relationship is restored, not just for Israel, but for everyone who trusts in him. And so Paul can say, we are the bride of Christ. What a husband we have now. But there's more. Have a look at the end of verse 4. In order that we might bear fruit for God. This marriage is meant to be a fruitful one. Now here's where the marriage picture might fall into the other ditch. You see, this here is not a relationship where you sit there at night, smiling, staring admirably at each other. I don't know if that's what you actually do at home. No, this is meant to be a productive relationship. Every good marriage produces fruit. Have a look at verse 5. Paul gives the contrast. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. Just notice that past tense. When we were in the realm of the flesh. Past tense, it's over. You are not in the flesh anymore. You have changed realms. You belong to Christ now. But here's something we're going to see next week. Even though you're no longer in the flesh, you are still fleshy. You still have a mortal body where sin is waging war. That's not failure. That is reality until the resurrection. And the Spirit is the answer to that, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. The old marriage, the old relationship produced death fruit. Here's something surprising. The law actually stirred up sin. We'll see why next week. That's verses 7 to 25. But for now, just notice the results. Shame, guilt, condemnation, fruitlessness, death. That was the harvest from the first marriage. Fruit for death. But the new marriage, have a look at verse 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written codes. Spirit newness, not letter oldness. Here is the key. The contrast isn't law versus no law. The contrast is outside versus inside. The letter was scratched onto stone tablets. It was external. It was demanding. It was powerless to change on the inside. The Spirit is a living person dwelling within you, internal, empowering, transforming you from the inside out. He is called the Holy Spirit for a reason, because that is his goal, holiness. It's what Jeremiah dreamt of when he wrote, "I will write my laws in their hearts." It's what Ezekiel longed for when he promised, "I will put my Spirit within you." The Old Testament prophets saw it from a distance. We have it now. Not rules scratched onto stone, condemning you from the outside, but the Spirit himself dwelling within you, transforming you from the inside out. So that's point number two. Death marries you to Christ. You belong to him who was raised from the dead, and your marriage is a fruitful one. Spirit empowered, life producing, transforming you from the inside out. So back to the big question for tonight. If I'm not under the law, what is my relationship to God? The answer, Paul says, well, you're married to the risen Christ. You're not lawless, you are loved. You're not abandoned, you belong to someone. You're not striving for approval, you are already accepted. This isn't losing the law, this is gaining a husband. This isn't moral chaos, this is covenant intimacy. And so, we stop relating to God as a demanding husband who keeps score, and instead we serve him through relationship, not rule-keeping. What does that look like? Well, three things this week. One, when you fail this week, relate to Jesus like a loving husband, not like an external law. When you sin, and you will, don't assume that God is keeping a list. Don't run away. Don't hide. Instead, remember he died to forgive your failure. And he lives to help you change. When you lose your temper this week, don't spiral into shame. Go to Jesus. When you give in to that temptation again, don't run from Jesus, but run to him. The relationship's not over because you failed. Instead, it's an opportunity to see what it can do. Second, when you obey this week, think to yourself, what is going to please God? What is going to please my covenant partner? Not what rules am I going to follow? When you open your Bible tomorrow, don't ask, what rules should I be following today? Instead, ask, what will delight God's heart? How can I know him better? The same results might emerge. The same obedience might result, but it's utterly different in terms of relationship. It's not, I better do this or God's going to be disappointed. It's, I want to do this because I belong to Jesus. And third, just think to yourself, what visible fruit can I show this week? What fruit should the marriage to Christ produce? Not just private devotion that makes no difference on the outside, but what visible thing am I seeing? An act of service, generosity, unashamed witness that only makes sense because you belong to Jesus. Maybe it's the conversation you've been avoiding. Maybe it's generosity that doesn't make total sense to you. Maybe it's forgiveness that's going to cost you. That's what marriage fruit is. It displays what the husband is like. We're going to see more of it next week, but just clock it now. The struggle we face is evidence of that change. When you served sin, there was no struggle, there was no war. But now there is a war because this Spirit is in you fighting for your fruitfulness. And we're going to see more this next week, but that war doesn't mean you're failing. In fact, it means you're normal. It means you are no longer in the realm of the flesh, because that's over. But you still have a mortal body where sin is waging war. That is not substandard Christianity. That is reality until the resurrection. You are united to Christ. You have his spirit. And therefore, you will bear fruits. The question isn't whether you're perfect. The question is, who do you belong to? You belong to him who was raised from the dead. Not performance, but belonging. Not rules, but relationship. The old marriage was a disaster. It only produced condemnation and death. But now in Christ, you've been resurrected. You've been remarried to the most generous husband possible. So what a husband we have now. Thanks for listening. If the gospel has opened your mouth, go pass that message on. Go speak of Jesus with confidence and joy. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ our Lord.